With Tech News Briefing, I'm Tanya Bustos at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Straight ahead, the 5G race pits China and the U.S. against one another for control of the world's fastest wireless internet. The details, but first, these tech headlines. A new European push to rein in tech giants through copyright legislation is sparking a fierce debate. It's coming to a head this Wednesday when the European Parliament votes on a copyright directive that could essentially hold platforms like Facebook and Google more responsible for paying for content. If a law is ultimately agreed upon, EU countries would have up to 2 years to implement the new rules, which would be enforced by member countries. Read more about what's at stake for big tech at WSJ.com. Snap Inc. strategy chief Imran Khan is leaving, the latest senior member of chief executive Evan Spiegel's circle to exit the social media company. This comes as it faces challenges growing its number of users after a poorly received redesign of its app. When reporting earnings in August, Snap said it suffered its first ever quarterly decline in daily users as a public company, news that added to investors' concerns about social media companies and roiled the company's stock price. Snap shares have dropped more than 30% since the start of the year. More than two-thirds of teens say they would rather communicate with their friends online rather than in person. This is according to a new study that comes as tech companies are trying to help parents and children monitor their time spent online. The Journal's Betsy Morris has more on the study from the nonprofit Common Sense Media, as it looks at how tech titans like Facebook, Apple, and Alphabet's Google address rising parental concerns about whether too much screen time can be hurtful. Coming up, the 5G race, a new wireless era promises to transform how people use the internet, and China and the U.S. are fighting over domination. As the Journal writes, the early waves of mobile communications were largely driven by American and European companies. However, as the next era of 5G approaches, the battle is on to determine whether the U.S. or China will dominate. Joining us now in the podcast studio with more is Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Krauss. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So first off, I don't think folks necessarily realize the difference between 4G and 5G all the time, the difference of that power. You know, it's enough to, as you write, transform the way people use the internet. So first off, if you could first talk a little bit about what companies can do with this surge of power by way of tech, by way of all kinds of things.
Sure. I think you're right that it's really hard to keep the 3G, 4G, 5G straight when you're just an average Joe living your life. And, you know, it's something that doesn't matter to you until you're missing out on something, right? Until you want to stream a video faster or play a game on the go. So 5G relative to 4G promises, boosters say, to be up to 100 times faster than what we have today. So some of the things that that is likely to enable is, for example, like a private network for a factory where you could have drones inside flying and moving packages, and it's all an isolated, super fast wireless network that gives the robots that are doing the work inside more mobility to move around and not be connected to a wire and to the wall. So that's one example. Mobile payments become a lot easier. If you're a retailer, you don't have to have a cash register rooted in place. You can have, you know, workers moving around with mobile payment options, and it's ultra fast. Or gaming is another one.
Sure.
On the more fun side, I suppose, you know, sort of augmented reality or virtual reality experiences become a lot easier to do and do well without that let's say nauseous feeling,
right?
That we get today sometimes.
100 times is 100 times. That's a lot of power, and you know things are powerful as they are, I must say. So that
we don't have it too bad, but this is better.
That puts it into perspective. So the race is on between China and the U.S. to become this dominant leader in this new power. Do we have a sense of who might be playing their cards right, or how each side is faring?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of caveats to the race. So there isn't, you know, first of all, an end point. So saying, you know, who the sort of winner today or winner tomorrow is sort of a tough call to make. But it is true that there have been very different approaches by China versus the U.S. So in China, you see the sort of state-led capitalism where actions by companies are handed down from on high. There's coordinated test beds. There's like a very sort of orchestrated attempt at securing patents and having a seat at the table for setting international standards. And all of that is orchestrated by the government and then executed by, you know, a mix of companies and government officials. In the U.S., it's much more more sort of free market. So you have individual companies, the Verizons, Samsung, AT&T, doing their own individual testing, also having a seat at the table in the standard setting process, also filing for patents. But it's not government mandated. It's more, it sort of leaves the door open to more diffuse outcomes, and it's determined by the work that the companies themselves do. And there is, so for example, one of the things we write about in this piece, the NSF, the National Science Foundation, is a government agency that has funded academic research, some of which has turned into commercial technology down the road or given way to that. They are funding, in part with the industry, a test bed that could be used sort of later on for 5G or in future generations of wireless networks. But the difference between what the U.S. and China have done so far is really in the approach.
So the payoff for companies is beyond immense. You write about the billions and billions of dollars of royalties at stake.
Yeah, so that's one piece of it. If you have a seat at the table in terms of securing patents and standards, you know, you stand to make billions of dollars from royalties as those patents are used in other technologies. If you're the first to, you know, have commercial networks, your company, your technology company or software companies may be the first to experiment on new applications or new services. So it gives you that sort of head start. But I will also say that there's a national security component to this as well, which is part of why this has been so high profile, is there are concerns about, you know, if China pulls ahead, will they have, you know, sort of a unique view into technology or networks in the U.S. that could leave us vulnerable? So that's been, you know, a big piece of this as well. And you've seen that play out. There have been some regulatory moves, you know, sort of aimed at sort of blocking deals that policymakers both in China and the U.S. View as a potential threat to their respective companies.
That's another thing I wanted to bring up, the issue of regulation. How is that going to continue to come into play? That's a big deal these days.
Yeah. So in the U.S., I guess that's another sort of place to look for actions the government has or has not taken to either facilitate or accelerate the rollout. We talked a little bit about the National Science Foundation funding research and trying to put together test beds. The FCC has proposed steps that will ease the deployment of small cells. And that's an important sort of piece of 5G infrastructure, because one of the things it requires is clusters of antenna that are closer to the end user, data centers that are less centralized, that are, you know, sort of could be housed even in the sort of box at the base of a light pole. So there's a sort of infrastructure build out that's required to facilitate these networks. And the FCC has proposed a step or a set of measures that could ease the process of installing those pieces of technology that are important.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge new horizon, and it's really, there's a lot to unpack. So I encourage listeners to check out the story at WSJ.com. Sarah, thank you so much, and we appreciate
you.
Your time, and we'd love to have you back when more develops.
Thank you.
And that is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos at The Wall Street Journal.